The World War II drama Dunkirk has been a surprise summer hit at the box office, taking in more than $265 million worldwide since it opened 2 weeks ago. The film is getting attention for its stunning visuals. It was shot mostly on super high-resolution IMAX cameras, and some theaters around the country are projecting it on 70mm film. 70mm is larger format than typical 35mm film, theoretically making the film more true to life. But is it really all it's cracked up to be? Let's ask Wesley Morris, critic at large for the New York Times. Hi, Wesley.
Hello, Jeremy.
So I saw Dunkirk in 70mm, and I didn't notice any difference. Am I wrong there? Is it really that much better?
I think that it is better. It is definitely better for a Christopher Nolan movie. I'd say there may be 10 directors on the whole planet who, if they shot a movie in 70mm, I'd tell you, you have to see it the way they did it. And Christopher Nolan is definitely in, like, the top three. 70mm, it just looks great. It's clearer. You get you can see things that with a clarity that you wouldn't be able to see them in a digital format.
But let me just push back on that for a second.
Sure.
Because these days, the way that you see movies in general, even if it's not 70mm, it's so crisp and clear and so much better than it used to be, isn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, what we're really talking about is not really which format is better. What we're really talking about is which movie theater you are watching this format in. And it really is going to come down to how competently projected and exhibited these movies are. You know, the first time I saw Dunkirk, I could still see the edges of the frame of, like, the, it was like letterboxed for me, which is not how you want to watch a movie, but is how most of us watch our movies now, because there's no scrim or there's no curtain to keep that letterboxing from showing up on the screen.
Well, several major releases in recent years have made a big deal about their 70mm releases. Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master, Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight. Why is this trend happening now, and people are releasing it in this way?
Because it's better than 3D. Remember when everything was in 3D?
Right.
These are great filmmakers trying to bring a format back that was a special event format when, like, Lawrence of Arabia came out, for instance, in the 60s. And I think for certain filmmakers, I think it gives them a challenge in a way. I mean, The Hateful Eight, I don't think, quote, needed to be shot, unquote, in 70mm. But the challenge for Tarantino there was to try to make one interior space seem cinematic in a way that it might not have had he shot it in 35 or with, like, his iPhone.
Now, when you said a moment ago that remember when everything was in 3D, does that mean 3D's done?
Oh, God, I hope so. I mean, you still have to watch some. Well, I watched War for the Planet of the Apes in 3D, and it was fine, actually. It was a smart use of that technology. But far, far fewer movies you have to suffer through in 3D now than you did before. But that also means that some of the theaters that paid all that money for that technology to exhibit 3D still have those cameras that should not be showing non-3D movies. So you get this sort of darkened picture around the frame. Like, it cheapens your movie-going experience, even if you're just seeing Minions or Despicable Me 3 or whatever.
Poor Minions. The next thing I want to talk to you about is the music in Dunkirk. And I'm going to actually start playing it right now, and we're going to do what they do in the movie, which is to play it for the rest of our conversation. Because it literally lasts for the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. Bring it up, Mike. Let's hear some of this menacing, intense music from Dunkirk. Did you think that it was a bit much, Wesley Morris, that they played it through the whole thing? Do we really need this to make it more intense than it already was?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this while I was watching it and wondering if you're Christopher Nolan, what the deal is you strike with your composer under these circumstances and whether or not it really does help. See, I'm already not liking this movie right now. Whatever
right.
movie we're in, I don't want to watch
it's
that
anymore. It's getting too intense. Enough with this. Right.
But here's what I would say. For the most part, nobody's talking when the music's on. There's very little dialogue in this movie. And when there is dialogue, one of the downsides with 70mm is the sound mix, while as great as it is not great for dialogue. So there are entire sequences where the pilots are talking, where Tom Hardy is talking and trying to like figure out how to shoot these other warplanes. I did not know what they were saying. So it's not great for dialogue, as our audience is discovering right now, probably.
Well, and do you think this is going to be a Best Picture nominee? Because people are calling it brilliant.
It's, of course it's going to be a Best Picture nominee. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. Christopher Nolan is exactly what all those, like, old Hollywood people want. They want him to make a movie that they understand, that they don't need a diagram to figure out. They don't want Inception. They want this. And I think Christopher Nolan wants this. I don't think he's good at science fiction, to be honest with you. I think he, as it turns out, is very good at making something that could have been made in 1942.
Do you feel like something really bad is about to happen?
Yeah, like this segment going on for two more minutes.
Wesley Morris, critic at large for the New York Times, talking with us about Dunkirk. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jeremy.